This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, head open three for the tie. Good! Riley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! Hey boy, we're rolling here at the lineup!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who is going to help me win a golf tournament title tomorrow morning, well, Mr. Steve Sell.
Let's hope so.
You're going to have to do some work.
Yeah.
Now, you cannot wake up to a slow start tomorrow morning.
And see, it'll be a shotgun start, so no telling where they'll
start. Who knows? We might be stuck back on
a tough hole to begin. Well, like number five, they will move the tee up and play it as a par three. They'll do stuff like that. They have a lot of fun stuff that they do.
When we played it last year, we didn't play it as a par three, but that would make it a whole lot easier. Hole number five is not a lot of fun.
And then if you pay a certain amount of money and you hit the green on 15, you get a hole in one. So, you know,
we're going to need Cliff to cough up the cash.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to count on him to hit the green.
Yeah, well, he will. He always
Steve,
does.
Do I smell funny?
I can't. I have no sense of smell.
Do you follow my hygiene?
I don't pay attention to
that. So I don't smell funny.
You don't smell like a goat.
That's what I've been doing for the last hour and a half.
I have been hanging out with a bunch of goats.
I have been hanging out with goats, and I'm not talking about Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Steve Sell.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
yeah.
Me and Mark. We've been out there hanging with the goats. Mark's been interviewing little kids all day at the McPherson County Fair, a lot of 4-H'ers. Now, that is Mark's scene.
Oh, yeah.
He loves it.
Oh,
he's hanging out with those kids and saying,
he probably didn't want to leave.
He's going, okay, which 4-H club do you belong to? Where are you from? How many goats you have? Are they milk cows?
Did he ask him, you know, the king? Elvis Presley.
But he made a comment once, and one of the little kids was talking, and I don't remember what exactly. He said something about a bucket calf. And he said, now, I know what a bucket calf is, but Jim here, he's from the city, so he doesn't know a whole lot about bucket calves. Can you describe it? And I sort of blacked out a little bit. I think you kill the calf, and you take its head and put it on the wall. I don't know.
Do
people put cow heads on the wall? Is that just like deer and elk?
No, you don't do
giraffe.
That. I don't think so.
Rhino?
No.
Tiger?
No.
Some people do. Lion.
I can't see it. I just can't.
You've never wanted to go on an African quest?
No.
Why not?
I don't like stuff like that.
I'm saying is if you do go, don't post pictures of it. Because every now and then, do you ever see like the CEOs of companies that post this big African safari trip picture and people just start bashing them?
The only thing I would want is the hat. I like the safari.
Ooh,
hat.
You could be a safari hat.
Yeah, the safari.
If only you had your green shirt and then your like kind of less green shorts.
Yeah.
You could really be going on a safari.
Yeah.
Steve, were you much of a hunter growing up?
I was.
I know you said you didn't like to go fish.
My dad was a big time hunter. My grandpa, my cousins, but not me. I was the lone wolf. I did not like. I don't like guns. I mean, you know, they scare me. Guns scare me. I just don't.
So those three you have underneath your bed, you're not afraid of those?
I don't have three guns.
Okay, sure.
Maybe three golf clubs in case somebody.
Steve's always packing heat in case somebody breaks into the apartment.
I got a 2-iron, so.
Yeah, that's about as good as a gun.
Yeah.
I was never much of a hunter. I've been around guns a little bit. I've been on trips where people want to go do all of that. It's not that I'm, like, afraid of it or anything, or it's not that I'm uncomfortable. It's more that that's not any fun to me. And so I don't want to go sit in a deer stand at 3:30 in the morning.
No.
And sit there and be cold and be really quiet.
I'd have to take my fake fur blanket.
I'd rather sleep.
Yeah.
I don't want to go put waders on and get belly button deep in a cold pond and wait for those ducks and set up all the decoys.
Not my idea.
Paint my face black. I mean, I don't want to do all of that.
And I don't think there's as near as many people do that as when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely different.
Yeah, hunting is definitely... I just don't think people hunt like they used to.
My dad was a little bit like me. He grew up in southeast Arkansas, and so that's what you do there. You have deer camps, you have pheasant clubs, you have all of that. And he was kind of like me. He was kind of the city guy and said, I'll go hang along, but I don't really want to.
My dad was a big-time hunter. He hunted pheasant. He and my grandpa and my uncle, they just loved to hunt. He'd go on hunting trips all the time. Go out to western Kansas. I'm not sure where they went in western. It's been so long I couldn't tell you, but my grandpa had a lot of pictures. You know, he had a lot of he shot a lot of things and had these pictures taken with it. So I don't know. I'd be curious to know whatever happened to all those pictures of, you know, my grandpa and stuff like that.
So you think I probably stuck out a little bit at the McPherson County Fair?
Yeah.
I did my best to blend in. Mark and I were dressed almost the exact same.
Yeah.
I tried.
You didn't have your camo on?
No, I don't really own a lot of camo.
I own no camo.
I used to have a jacket that was, like, not really mine. I don't really need it for anything. I don't need to lay down in the woods or in a little brush. I don't need it.
No.
So that's what I've been doing all day. I walked in. It's 12:31 now. We went on at 12:25. I walked in at 12:23.
Yeah.
So we're here. A little underprepared, but okay. Steve, the good thing about you is that you have done the work for us and been able to follow along with the Open Championship and keep up with everything.
Well, I have, and it's been bad news for me. So, you know, you and I are both in a pool, and you know, where we draft golfers, and our success depends on them. I had John Rahm, who was my first pick. He was three shots off the lead, and then he lost his mind.
He kind of does that.
He does that. He was one under through, I think, six holes, three under for the tournament. I'm thinking, okay, I've got Kevin Kisner, who, by the way, double bogeyed his last hole to fall into a tie for the lead. He had been too clear of the field. But John Rahm had a triple, a bogey, and a double to end up shooting 41 on the front nine.
Ooh.
And then he had a bogey on the back. So John Rahm, he's history. Sergio, looks like he's going to miss the cut by one. I had him.
Well, to be fair, John Rahm still has five holes to play.
Yeah, but
and needs to make up like one shot, two shots.
Yeah, but I was watching, and he's lost his mind. The guy's walking around. You can just see the steam coming out of his ears. And then the barn rat, Appy Barn Rat, he's not.
Do you have Charles Schwartzel on your team too?
No, I got Louis Oosthuizen.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm not sure what I don't remember what he was doing. He was about even for today. I think he was about one over for the tournament.
He's one over. Even today.
Okay. So he's going to make the cut. We count four scores in our pool that we do, and I think I'm only going to have four guys. I got Xander Schauffele, who is he was two under last I saw for the day. He was even yesterday. So I've got a six under and a two under. Chris Wood finished one over. And if Oosthuizen finishes one over, that wouldn't be too bad. You know, that's four decent scores. I got four guys that are pretty good. But there may be some guys in our pool don't even have four players that make the cut, because there's a lot of unusual names that are going to make the cut. Bernhard was 60-year-old Bernhard. He had a chance to make the cut.
From everything I've seen today, and especially judging off of these scores, we've had two pretty good days to start this Open Championship,
right,
where scores are able to go low, except for, well, all your people.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood shot 65 today, by the way.
Yeah, he was 6-under today.
And of course,
he just finished.
You know whose team he's on.
Tregs.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his first pick. I actually had the pick right after Tregg, and I had Tommy Fleetwood. That was who my pick was
Sure.
And it really was. Sure. No, I told him when he did it. I said, that's who I was going to take. So then I got stuck with John Rahm, who I just got to understand. John Rahm has a temper.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't play a major with a temper. Now, he played well in the Masters.
That temper popped up.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to steer clear of John Rahm for a while.
What about my pick? Jordan Spieth.
On fire.
Having
today.
Himself a big, big day. Yeah. He was one over yesterday, and so far he's 5 under.
Oh, he's up to 5 under
holes.
Okay.
He's at 4 under on the weekend. But Jordan Spieth. Never count out Jordan Spieth.
And he didn't go in the first round. You got him, I think, in the second round, didn't you?
No, I'm pretty sure I took him like first overall. I took
Dustin Johnson. How'd that work out?
Well, yeah, not great.
Dustin's going to be a spectator on the weekend.
Yeah, well, I didn't take Jordan Spieth in our pool. I took him on the show.
Oh, okay.
And said, he's the guy I'm going to take.
I thought, who had Jordan Spieth in our pool? I don't remember. Somebody took him in the second round, though.
Dustin Johnson finished 6 over on the weekend, so he will not be
making
the cut.
Hit the bricks.
That one hurts.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy's playing pretty well, though.
Yeah.
Have we done a Tiger check yet?
Tiger shot even. He's
even today, even yesterday.
Yep, he's just
71-71. So he made the cut, barring some craziness, which I wouldn't think. But he's going to make the cut.
Oh, it's 3 over is the cut.
That's what it looks like right now.
And it may go to 4, but yeah. Probably not.
Lefty?
I think it's top 70 in ties.
Lefty made the cut.
Yeah, he was
2 under today.
Yeah, and he had a birdie putt on his 18th hole and left it like 2 inches of going in. It was dead in the heart.
Did he take his hat off and do a lot of finger points?
Oh, he gave the thumbs up and had that goofy, cheesy smile that he always has.
So, Steve, as we look ahead to the weekend, who do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be any of these guys that we can call no names?
No.
Or is it going to be one of these big names that's just lingering a little south
after
and
watching,
they make their way out?
After watching, you know, Jordan Spieth yesterday had one really bad hole. Or he's
hole number 15.
Yeah, or he's there. I think you might be right. I think Jordan Spieth now, he's found it. And when he finds it, he's hard to beat because he putts so well. I mean, he's the best putter out there in this tournament right now. He is putting. He's got his ball rolling. And when he gets it rolling and he hits such good irons, he's going to get so many chances. I mean, the court, and he drives it pretty straight. He's not a bomber. But he drives it straight, and that's what you got to do. You can't be in the wispy stuff like Dustin Johnson was the old time.
Oh, no.
But now Kisner, my man Kisner, who I have, tied for the lead, he played 17 great holes today and then bungled up the last hole. So I don't think – he hasn't been in good form coming into the tournament. I think he's one of those 36-hole guys. I got a feeling because I have him on my team, he's going to fall back to about a – 75 tomorrow.
And of course, Zach Johnson, who's charged all the way up.
See, look,
a one-time open champion.
And look who's at the leaderboard. You got Zach Johnson. You got Jordan Spieth. They're guys that hit it straight and putt it well. And that's right now, that's what it's looking like you got to do to win this tournament. Bombing it does you no good. Look at my man John Rahm. He bombed it for 7 over in a 4-hole stretch.
Steve, a little later on in the show, I want to talk about the Chiefs. As they're getting closer and closer
Sunday.
To opening up training camp, St. Joe. You know our guy Mitch Holthus is going to be ready to rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. Friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch came on.
A friend of the broadcast
yeah.
crew.
Mitch came on the show during the basketball tournament. Steve, we could have talked to him for
And this was right after the Alex Smith trade, too.
Right.
If you remember that.
Right.
Steve, we got a anonymous caller.
Uh-oh.
And he left you a message regarding our gun conversation
okay.
from the beginning of the show.
Did he tell me he's a suck it up buttercup?
No. The caller said, in quotes, "Steve's the type of guy to bring a golf club to a gunfight." that's pretty good.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
He keeps a 2-iron underneath his bed.
Oh, yeah.
What else do you keep? One of those weighted golf clubs? You know, get loose?
I don't have one of those. That's like $100. I'm not going to spend $100 just to get loose.
What are you going to do to get loose? You don't really stretch or anything. You don't really hit balls. You don't really putt.
I get on the first tee and grip it and rip it.
Yeah, someday that's going to catch up with
you,
Steve.
Well, I know.
I guess you've done it for what? 45 years and it's worked out pretty good?
52 years.
I guess maybe it won't catch up with you. Until you start playing those gold tees.
Never.
What about the white tees?
Yeah, I can see the white tees. And that could be coming sooner than you think.
What about red?
No. No. Because the wedge is the worst part of my game. That's all I'd be hitting if I played the red
tees. That's true. All right, Steve, let's take our first break. When we come back, Chiefs.
Yeah.
Get the tomahawk chop ready.
Now we're going.
We are almost into August.
Yeah.
And oh boy.
Well, the first exhibition game's like August 9th, I believe.
I think it is August 9th.
Yeah.
All right, let's take our first break. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and the message girl today, Casey Spotted Elk, running in and out with all sorts of messages, telling us about Anonymous, saying Steve's going to bring a golf club to a gunfight. What's that original saying? What's the quote for that? He brought something to a knife fight, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Brought my fist to a knife fight. That'd be scary.
I think you could bring your fist to a knife fight.
I'm not a fighter.
I think you could be a little scrappy guy.
Not at almost 62 years.
No, I'd feel even better about that than I would Steve at 14. Steve at 62, you can just imagine somebody on the golf course maybe hitting into him, or a group trying to pass him. All of a sudden, the other group gets out of their cart, and Steve says, "Hey, what are you doing?"
Hey, I had a guy in my own group hit me with a ball the other day.
We'll hope that won't cause any drama tomorrow morning.
No, I hope not.
We'll hope we can get that chemistry figured out.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, we are getting closer and closer to the NFL season. And it starts first for the Chiefs with preseason.
Right.
And their training camp. And for those of you that don't know, the Chiefs always go up to St. Joe, Missouri. A little bit, about an hour north of Kansas City.
Is it Missouri Western? Is that where it's at?
The home of Missouri Western, the Griffins.
Okay.
And they've got a big facility there. The Chiefs players will stay in the dorms.
Wow.
They're pretty nice dorms. The Chiefs paid money to remodel them.
Yeah.
But they've got great facilities, and they usually work out one or two times a day. And that starts on Sunday. So as we get close, I'm going to repeat something I've said once or twice. Let's hold back from making judgments on QB1, Mr. Patrick Mahomes, this whole year, especially this whole training camp.
Yeah.
If the first game of training camp he throws three interceptions and people start losing their minds,
they will.
We've just got to remember, he's young, he's a rookie, he's going to make some mistakes.
This is a Chiefs team. I wrote a column today about the Chiefs, by the way, on midkansasonline.com. I already posted. The Chiefs are could be the biggest boom or bust team in the NFL. They could really boom.
See, you're stuck on that you think they're going to win 12 games or 4 games.
Right. I don't have any...
And see, I think they're just down the middle.
Yeah.
I think they're 7 or 8.
I think offensively, if Mahomes is 75% as good as people are expecting him to be, they're going to have a great offense. They're going to have a great
running. Look at all the weapons around
him. Yeah. Spencer Ware, Kareem Hunt, the running backs, with Anthony Sherman as the blocking back.
Sausage.
You got Tyreek Hill, who to me is the most exciting player in the NFL in the open field. Travis Kelce, probably one of the three best tight ends in football.
I'd say the best.
Sammy Watkins, who, if healthy, he can be all pro. And then Chris Conley. You know, he was just starting to find himself.
Before he got hurt.
So... And then they got, who's the other? They got one other receiver that's not too bad. I can't even think who it is.
It's not Albert Wilson.
No, Albert's gone.
He's gone.
Albert's gone.
No Jason Avant.
Frankie Hammond Jr., I think, is gone.
Oh, yeah, he's long gone.
I was thinking there's one other receiver. DeMarcus Robinson, I believe it is.
Okay. Is he from Michigan?
Florida,
yeah.
Well, Robinson's is his last, he was number 12, I think, or 14.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the offensive line probably mediocre.
No, they've made big improvements.
Schwartz was a big improvement last year. If Mitch Morris can stay healthy, he's a pretty good center. Eric Fisher's never going to be.
But Eric Fisher has made big improvements over the last 2 years.
He's okay.
Those first couple of years, he was kind of hurt.
He's had a bad shoulder.
And he was just not good.
And the thing is, you look at him, you say,
how big. He was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, he was the number one overall pick. And you look how big he is and how strong he is. But he runs around and kind of looks for somebody to hit, and he never seems to hit anybody.
For those of you that have never been to a training camp, or let's say you've never been to an NFL game, one of my favorite things to do before the game is go down to field level, not standing on the field, but down there close to the end zone where the Chiefs warm up. And before every game, the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen will sort of match up with each other, and they'll run through some very light popping drills where they'll sort of hit each other, or like at training camp when they have the sled in front of them with the dummies and they can punch them and the bag comes back in and they can push the sled. For those of you that have never watched that happen, you realize how strong those men are when you get down and see it in person.
And the speed of the game is just beyond unbelievable. TV doesn't do it justice. I did go to a Chiefs game one time, and I just couldn't believe the speed of the game.
You only been to one Chiefs game?
Yep.
Who'd they play?
I didn't even go to Arrowhead. I went to Municipal Stadium. They played the Houston Oilers.
So Steve's saying, I went to a game one time, and that speed is incredible. When he watched Len Dawson run around the field. He's never seen Tyreek Hill in person.
I think Len was smoking a cigarette on the sideline.
It was probably before Len was on the team.
No, Len was there. But they got beat 24-19. I do remember that.
Oh, that speed. That speed in 1963.
They had Mike Garrett. He was fast.
We need to get you up to a game here soon, Steve. We need you to see it at this level of speed.
Yeah.
It's freaky. There's nothing better. But I love watching those guys pop the pads.
Yeah.
They are freaks of nature.
But getting back to the Chiefs, it's going to come down to defense. They've got to be better. They were wretched defensively by the end of the year. And they have really changed out a bunch of people.
So, Derek Johnson, no Tamba Hali, no Ron Parker.
No Marcus Peters.
No.
Well.
Don't get us started on that.
Yeah.
Fuller, he should be a good piece. Is it Kendall or Kyle?
Kendall.
Because there's two of them.
Right. And they have Reggie Ragland. Ragland or Rutland?
From Alabama. Ragland.
Reggie Ragland all year. And Justin Houston has got to be healthy at some point.
Same with Dee Ford.
He has not been healthy since he signed that $100 million contract. He's not been the same player. Defensive line, I have no idea. Chris Jones is pretty good. I don't know who they've cut and who they've kept on those D linemen. I think Jay Howard's gone.
Raheem Nunez Rochez.
I think Alan Bailey's still there, maybe.
I think so.
Yeah. So they play a 3-4 anyway, so they don't need that many.
Steve, back to my original point. Everybody listening, I know that you're going to have your opinions on Patrick Holmes.
Yeah.
Everybody will have their opinions on him because he's kind of a polarizing guy. I just ask you, give him some time.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you that know me, I was not a fan of the initial pick.
Yeah.
And I was not a fan of trading Alex Smith. But what we have to do is give him time.
Yeah.
Because if people do not give him time and he has a somewhat rough preseason, he gets into the early half of the regular season and struggles a little bit, going to turn on him so
fast.
But
one thing they can do, and Andy Reid, of course, is a great offensive mind. They've got a fantastic running game. And they can just kind of rein him in, have him throw, turn him into kind of a Alex Smith with a bigger arm. But, you know, not take chances. You know, matriculate the ball down the field, as Hank Stram would say. You know.
3 1/3.
Yeah, yeah. Toss 65 power trap.
Yeah, that was the play you saw him run. And
oh, yeah.
Municipal Stadium in 66.
Nolan Supernat Smith was playing.
Back when you watched the AFL.
It was the AFL.
I like it, Steve. We need to get you to an NFL game. Can we make that happen? Or are you too busy on Sundays?
I'm a busy man.
You are busy on Sundays.
I'm having to post everything that happened on Saturday on the website.
Well, what if we just make you stay up late on Saturday, You drive up to Arrowhead on Sunday morning. Somebody else drives you.
Got to have a nap.
Yeah, you can take a little nap.
Yeah.
We get to Arrowhead, watch the game, and you know what? We could even leave a little early. Beat that traffic.
Beat the traffic.
We could get to Arrowhead from here in 3 hours and 15 minutes if we book it.
Yeah.
If there's a little traffic, 3.5.
Yeah.
But we can make it happen.
Yeah.
We got to get you up there.
Yeah, we'll see.
You got to see the Chiefs.
We'll see.
Were you a Rams fan? The St. Louis Rams?
No.
Because I know you like the Cardinals.
No.
You just liked the Cardinals because they were the team when you were growing up.
They were my
St. Louis.
They were my grandpa's team, so they were my team.
There's no love for St. Louis, though.
No. I didn't even like the St. Louis Hawks when Bob Pettit played for them. Easy Ed McCauley.
All right, Steve. Let's take our final break, wrap up the show, and get everybody ready for the weekend. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's show, 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, you got any updates for the McPherson Pipeliners and their end of season tournament?
I don't.
Trying to qualify for NABC in Wichita?
Now, the bracket I received, unless there's been a change, they were playing at 1 o'clock today against Valley Center. If they win, they play the Kansas Cannons today. If they lose, they play at 10 o'clock in the morning. They had their home run derby last night. I saw Andrew Black was the home run champion, which Andrew's not a very big guy. So he must have really muscled up on some balls. I thought my main man, Big John Merricks, would win or Carson Davis, but Andrew Black was the home run derby champion. That was the last home appearance for the Pipeliners, and they completed their first year here. Hopefully they'll be back next year. I think they'll, you know, they kind of got their foot in the door in the community. Had some really good crowds at some of the games. I covered pretty much all their home games this year except when I was on vacation. And, you know, they have promotions and things like that. And they'll do better on the things they didn't do well this year. I think they'll do better and do the things that they did well, continue to do those things.
That level of baseball is interesting.
Yeah.
As I've worked in it, I've worked in a league like that, and it could just be hard to find the right guys, to keep the right guys, yeah, to keep
and
people
their roster,
coming out.
And their roster was ever-evolving because you had guys that signed with schools, and the schools wanted them. The Peterson twins, who were really two of their best hitters, they signed with Missouri. Missouri wanted them there, so they had to leave the team. They had some guys that were here at the start, weren't here at the end. Then they had some guys that came in later that really helped the team, especially in an offensive standpoint. The thing about the Pipeliners is they were, to me, what I saw, probably the youngest team in the league. A lot of these other teams have guys that are either just finished college or juniors or seniors. The Pipeliners basically went with 18, 19, 20-year-old guys.
So we will try to keep you updated on that. The latest schedule that I saw online said they play at 10.
Okay.
So,
well, then the
that game's probably about over.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a score,
yeah, then,
though.
Yeah, then the schedule I received was not correct. So,
well, that's the way it works sometimes.
Yeah.
Steve, we're excited. Next week, we will be going down to the Shrine Bowl in southeast Kansas, your neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah.
I've never watched a football game at Pittsburgh State Stadium.
Now, I watched one at – I used to go to Pittsburgh High because Pittsburgh was on our
schedule.
Purple
Dragons.
Yeah, we played the Purple Dragons, so they were on our schedule.
My old roommate, Kelly, he's from St. Mary's Colgan.
Mm-hmm.
They had some pretty good basketball teams while he was there. He was a golfer.
Oh, they had some great football teams with Chuck Smith, former Independence coach, went over to Colgan and created a dynasty over there.
We've read the stat a few times, but it's pretty incredible that – for the last 10 years, last 11 years, there has been at least one McPherson High football player playing in the Shrine Bowl.
Right.
And you think back to, you know, Steve, this makes a little more sense for you, but you think back to the history of McPherson High football for the first 100 years of its existence.
There were a lot of years it wasn't very
There were a lot of years where they would not have any type of Shrine Bowl type of players.
Dwayne Chandler. I think maybe Vic might have played. Vic Chandler might have played. I know Dwayne played. And then we didn't have a Shrine Bowl guy until Tanner Hawkinson
got picked. And he's not bad.
And then he didn't end up playing. KU, he was at KU already up there, so they didn't let him play. And since then, we have just reeled off player after player after player.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Every single season since 2008.
Yeah.
You see a trend in that? Yeah. They've had some pretty good football during that time as well.
And it started in 2006 when Tom Young got here. Tom Young changed the culture, you know, and I'm sure he will be on the Wall of Fame. I think he's got maybe another year to go before he's eligible for the Wall of Fame. He's got to be out.
He's still a big help for the football team right now.
He's got to be out 5 years, but he's an automatic. I mean, that'll be a rubber stamp because Tom Young changed the culture, not just for football, but weight training.
Yeah.
And Coach Pav's carried it on. Great weight program out at the high school now.
We're going to try and have Coach Pav on again next week. We had him on at the beginning of this week to talk about their 7-on-7 tournament. We want to talk with him a little bit about the Shrine Bowl and go into more details on this upcoming season that is right around the corner. Steve, tomorrow morning, Bullpup Football Golf Tournament.
Yeah.
Can we find a way to win it? What do we do if we win? What kind of edge will we hold over the football coaches if we beat them?
Bragging rights. Generally, it comes down one of those. It
comes down to Treg versus everybody else.
I don't think Treg's got enough help because Chris Stuckey, Jamie Piper, and Ryan Schmidt, that's the team to beat. That's
pretty good team.
That's three, and then Joel Piper, I think, is playing with them. But those three guys.
Steve's throwing some shade right there.
Yeah, but Jamie, Chris, and Ryan, I think if you add their handicap up together, it's about 5. You got a couple ones in there, 2 or 3. Those, and they hit it a mile. All three of those guys just hit it a mile. So, but scrambles come down to putting. They always do. So you got to make the putts.
I've got a feeling I'm going to have a big day tomorrow, Steve.
Well, we got.
I'm going to make some putts.
We got Clifford. Clifford can.
He can putt.
Oh, my gosh.
We got Johnny G.
Johnny G will hit it big.
Not Johnny G of Atella.
I'm not sure.
I wish we could bring him
in. I'm not sure what I bring to the team. I think just comic relief, maybe.
As long as you don't get hit by a ball.
That's right. Yeah. But no, normally I'm picked because I drive it pretty far.
Yeah, you do.
But Johnny G hits it 30 past me, so I'm, you know. But hopefully, you know, my wedge game will find itself.
We're going for gold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you on Monday.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.